Right, I think let's go. My name's Philip Knight.
And I'm Vicky Want.
And we're the underwriting team at Asset Advantage, and you are listening to Asset Advantage Out Loud. So, welcome back to another episode of our podcast, and this one has the imaginative title Adverse Information, and we're going to talk about adverse information, its impact on underwriting, where we get that information, and a general discussion of why it's important. But our first opening section is the good, the bad, and the ugly, although actually we're going to talk about the good, the better, and the ugly.
Yep.
So the first two elements are slightly pat on our backs, but just to demonstrate some of the good things that we've done. This week, we paid out a £500,000 deal, which involved a £300,000 refinance of the existing loan that we'd provided to the customer 2 years ago to acquire their first business. And we've advanced another £200,000 for them to do a bolt-on acquisition. So that turned into a £500,000 deal. So that was a nice one to get out of the door. The better, not sure whether it's better, but it's another good thing, was a £27,000 deal for a new start business in the hospitality sector that we turned round within an hour of it being proposed. That was largely on the back of a quick phone call from the broker, quick explanation of the deal, and the underlying information being really sound with a good high net worth PG and a good explanation of what they want to do, spend the money on. So that deserves a round of applause. And then Vicky, the ugly thing that we had to deal with.
Two ugly things. Really just discussing the fact that adverse affected two deals that we dealt with this week that in the last 24 hours that took both you and I quite a long time to decline. And yet one was 300K and one was 50K.
And how long did that 50K deal take you to underwrite?
Most of the morning.
So that's a big contrast between the swift ability to be able to turn around a deal that was well presented, and actually, hopefully it demonstrates the time that we'll put into a deal, even if we end up declining it, because we really want to get deals across the line. But adverse information can be really toxic, and you can spend a lot of time underwriting a transaction and then sort of at the end of the day, because we've not been told as part of your research, establish that there's some adverse around it that leads virtually to an instant decline. We'll mention that later on about kind of our approach to adverse information. So to start off on the main topic then, I think we'll just mention the, when we're talking about adverse information, what is that info? So here we're talking about County Court judgments, bounce direct debits, insolvency events. So that's things like
previous administrations, Phoenix businesses, liquidations.
Yeah, that kind of stuff that's involving administrators and essentially an event that is as a result of insolvency at the business. Then there's other things like businesses breaking their overdraft limits at the bank. So we get information from credit agency searches around people's use of their bank account, and that will show to us if they've bust their overdraft limit. And then something that's not obviously adverse, but it is something that we treat as a piece of adverse information, and that's evidence of multiple credit searches. So our credit agency search for a business will show how many times that particular business has been searched. And I don't think we are any different to any other lender that we identify multiple searches as a bit of a warning sign. Now, it's a bit different with us because we can quite often be treated as a lender of last resort. The deal has been around all of the usual tier one subjects and comes to us. So it may be not unusual for us to see searches. But I think our concern is where we're seeing, I don't know, what would you call a large number of searches?
Well, for instance, today I saw a search that had 59 over the last 12 months and 24 in the last 3 months. So that's quite a lot.
That really is. That really is a lot of searches. And I think the problem for us is that not a problem. What do lots of searches suggest? Lots of searches suggest that possibly the business is looking for credit in multiple places. It may not be that one introducer has got the deal and has propped it to three or four places. It might be that the customer has gone to three or four different brokers. So it suggests that they might be getting multiple credit lines from multiple lenders that we obviously won't know about. So that's what we would call a piece of adverse information. So where do we find this information? I've just mentioned credit agency searches.
Which gives, as you also mentioned, quite a lot of information with regards to bank accounts. So we get the Cato data, which is current account turnover data, and Keys, which provides all information about, not all information, but basic information about lines of credit that have been given to the customer. We also look at Companies House a lot, and Companies House has all sorts of different information that you might not find on the credit agency reports. One particular piece of information I would say is that if the customer has used multiple addresses to create different limited companies, that won't come up necessarily on the director's search on the credit agency searches. So it looks like that customer's only ever had one limited company. But if you look on Companies House, you find that actually they've had numerous directorships.
And so that can then sometimes show up the fact that they were a director of an insolvent business.
Absolutely.
And so they might have different entities as directors. Yeah, on Companies House. And the other thing on Companies House I like are the, if there's been an administration, then you get a full administrator's report. Well, you get all of the reports that the administrator has filed. So that administrator report will give you the background to the administration and the reasons that they've established as to why the business has gone bust.
Although the tricky part about that is that some are very full and tell you everything, and some are very light and don't tell you much at all.
That's true. But it is at least there, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then Google searches, and we search and search and search Google for all sorts of things, location, CVs, LinkedIn, just anything that can provide us with a deeper understanding of the customer.
And yet the more, sometimes we tend to do more of that when the proposal is a bit light on info.
Absolutely.
And I think it's the case that quite often some of those proposals where the information is a bit light encourages you to do a bit of research, and lo and behold, you find out quite often why the proposal is a little bit light on information.
Indeed.
So why is adverse information important? Well, starting at the obvious piece is that if somebody has got a string of county court judgments and has got a string of bounce direct debits and they've bust their overdraft limit, then it suggests that they're probably running out of cash. And of course, their ability to be able to repay us is the key part of our underwriting. So if somebody hasn't got enough cash and they're bouncing their direct debits, chances are they'll do exactly the same to us. So that's kind of a really obvious piece around adverse information. But I think there's also a point around the approach of the business to its creditors. Reality is that most of the businesses that we get proposed don't have adverse information. So if you've got 10 deals in front of you and one of them has got adverse information and nine haven't, then why would you possibly want to do a deal for a customer that's got adverse information? I think that there's a piece around maybe the approach of the business to its creditors. Perhaps they are quite difficult to deal with and they won't pay their bills until somebody gets a county court judgment against them. Those are not the types of businesses that we want to lend to. And it might also just more basically suggest that they're not very good at their admin. Quite often you'll get the excuse around a county court judgment that, the letter went to the wrong place, or our admin assistant was off, or our financial controller was off sick. And I do find these excuses a little bit lame, because I'm thinking to myself, well, are you going to use the same excuse to us when our direct debit bounces? So again, I'm not sure that those are the sorts of businesses that we want to lend to. So moving on to underwriting issues, or how does the presence of adverse information feed into the underwriting decision? These are not necessarily linked points. I think the first thing is us not being told about some adverse information, particularly when it relates to insolvency events. It's pretty much an instant decline.
Yep.
For us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's difficult for me to conceive a situation in which a customer doesn't think it's relevant to disclose to somebody from whom it wants to borrow money that there was an insolvency, or that their business is a phoenix of an insolvency, or they were involved in an insolvent business. I don't think if I was applying for a mortgage, if I didn't tell a bank that I had been made a bankrupt — I haven't, for our listeners, I have not been made bankrupt, I just want to make that clear — but if I had been made bankrupt, I can't imagine a situation in which it wouldn't be relevant for me to tell them, or indeed that I would be surprised that they declined me because I hadn't told them. So I think that upfront disclosure of information is really important to us. But I do have to caveat that with the fact that just because we're being told about the adverse piece of information doesn't automatically mean that we will then promptly ignore it. I think it's more around the background to that insolvency event that then subsequently needs to be explained, not just, oh, XYZ went bust and this is their new business. We need an explanation around that original insolvency event that gives us the comfort that there won't be a second insolvency event. And by the same token, the settling of a county court judgment doesn't eliminate it as an issue. I mentioned earlier that one of the things around some of this adverse information, whether it be bounce, direct debits or county court judgments, is what does it say actually about the customer? So the mere fact that they paid the county court judgment just means that they didn't break the law, or they complied with a judgment from a county court. It doesn't mean it's okay because they paid it. And then there's a bit around, I think, acceptable reasons for adverse information. So, it might be that they had a bounce direct debit, and without an explanation, they're probably going to say to a customer, that's a decline. But maybe there's something around that reason for that bounce direct debit. Say the factory burnt down, or their computers were stolen, or for whatever reason, they couldn't fulfill an order, so they didn't get paid, so they didn't have the cash to meet the direct debit. I don't know. There are potential scenarios in which I think we might accept the reason for the adverse information is okay.
Absolutely. And the fact that somebody's even flagged it up, I think, for a bounce is really helpful, because it means that not only is the customer aware, but so is the broker.
Yeah. 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 It comes back to this point, doesn't it? That you as a potential borrower, the customer, need to think about what sort of information the bank would want, or indeed what you would want to know if you were being asked to lend to somebody. Linked to that is materiality. So, what's a material adverse event? Is there a point around how long ago those bounce direct debits were? Probably not with bounce direct debits, because the max it goes back to is 12 months.
On Cato data, yeah.
Yeah. And but things like county court judgment information is much longer.
Yeah.
I can't off the top of my head remember when they get wiped off, or indeed if the information persists in Experian credit searches.
I think it shows for at least 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So the fact that you've paid it off, is a county court judgment of 3 years ago relevant to a lending proposal now? I think the answer is probably yes, it is, because you still had to be forced by a county court to get that judgment. And then there's a materiality piece around how much. But some of that feeds into, well, what was the reason for it? So if it's a £100 county court judgment 5 years ago, and you and the customer can explain what that was about, it was some stupid admin error, then that's probably okay. Yeah. But a £10,000 county court judgment 5 years ago? Oh, I'm not sure.
Possibly
that's the sort
not.
Of. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there is a little bit of a materiality piece around it, but that still really needs to be explained, I think.
I think the same with liquidations, how long ago they were.
Yes.
We've had a number recently that have been possibly quite a while ago, but they've had an adverse effect on the way we see the deal.
Yes, I think if you as a director and have been involved, or a director shareholder have been involved in a business pretty much ever, and that's been subject to an insolvency event, then we need to be told about it. And then we'll make a judgment as to whether or not we think it's material to the credit decision. So just to wrap this topic up, what can an introducer do to manage a lender around adverse information? And again, as with all of these things, we're largely talking about what can you do to manage adverse information with Asset Advantage. But I think many of these points are still relevant for most lenders. So I think the first thing is to ask the customer as to whether there are any skeletons in the cupboard before you propose the deal. And just going back to my previous point, for the avoidance of doubt, just because you mention it doesn't mean that it's then sort of cancelled out and ignored in the underwriting decision. But at least it gives you an opportunity to be able to ask the customer to explain the background to it. And maybe then say to the customer, look, because of X, Y, Z, A, we're going to need to give an explanation, and potentially we're going to need to enhance the security around the transit, around the deal, just because the funder will look upon that as a reason, good reason to decline the deal. So we need to give them some extra stuff to support them approving the transaction. And I think you need to sense test that explanation yourself and just think, sit back and think, well, if I was told that, would I A, believe it? B, does it kind of make sense with the history that you've told me around your business? And I think you probably need to provide some evidence. So if I talked earlier about maybe, you know, the factory burnt down, well, perhaps you go and find some press reports about the factory burnt down just to make the underwriter's life a little bit easier, so they can validate that statement that the reason the customer had a bunch of bounce direct debits earlier on in the year is because their factory burnt down, and here's the press report from the Yorkshire Post or whatever. And you made a point earlier when we were pre-discussing this about finding out about information.
Yeah, because whatever happens, we will find it. It just comes up in the way we do searches. It might not necessarily be that we're really looking for it. It just happens because we do such thorough research.
Yeah, and we've been doing this for such a long time. We've seen all the red flags around. We know all the things that exist, or the scenarios in which potentially there is adverse information sitting around in the background. And I would say 99 times out of 100, we'll see those things. I don't know, they might be somebody who's 60 years old managing a business that's only owning a business that's only 3 years old. So there's things like that. And we'll go looking. Well, on the back of that, we'll go looking for adverse information, and quite often we find that information. So whilst this has been a fairly negative podcast around adverse information and bad things around props, I think hopefully we've given you some visibility to the sorts of things that we look for, some potential solutions in the sense of you being able to properly present that information. Oh, there was one final point I was just going to make about that presentation of information. I do think it's really good that if you present the full story around the proposal, then that gives us confidence that you've asked a lot of questions and there's nothing hidden around the deal. I do think it's the case that if we get a prop in from somebody and maybe we haven't been told the full story, that's bound to impact on the next deal you see from them. Not because we think people are lying, but maybe they're just not asking enough questions of their customers. So you really want to present a kind of real positive story. You know, here I am, an introducer, really trying to help you, Asset Advantage or Investec or Aldermore or whatever, really help you get a deal across the line. I'm going to give you all of the information. I'm not going to underwrite it myself. I'm going to give you and you make the decision. So hopefully you found that information useful. I'm Philip Knight.
And I'm Vicky Want.
And you've been listening to Asset Advantage Out Loud.